Welcome to Tabi Tabi Pod. I am your host, Ethan, and this is a bi-weekly podcast about Philippine folklore, mysteries, paranormal stories, and maybe some foreign myths. Hello there, welcome back. If you're a new listener, hi! Welcome to Tabi Tabi Podcast. Thanks for listening. Before we proceed with today's topic, let me just thank our sponsor for today. Today's episode is brought to you by Aswang Project. The Aswang Project is an educational website that shares the rich and diverse cultures of the Philippines. Some of the information for today's creature came from Aswang Project. And recently, they just finished their new book titled Ferdinand Blumentritt's Diccionario Mitologico de Filipinas. You can go and visit their website at www.aswangproject.com to order the book or read more of Philippine folklore and stories. I let you guys choose on Instagram what creature I should feature on today's episode. And you have chosen Minokawa. Just a disclaimer. I will mention a word that some people might think is an insult, but it's not here in the Philippines. That word is Negros. And it's the fourth largest island in the Philippines. It's one of the many islands that comprise the Visayas in the central part of our country. And the inhabitants of the island region are mainly called Negrenses. Now that's out of the way, let's proceed with our topic. The Minokawa is a massive, dragon-like bird capable of swallowing or covering the sun. It is said to live in outer space and to be capable of devouring the moon or the earth. The eclipse is explained by our ancestors as the sun or moon being devoured by the Minokawa. I'll go into more detail later. In Edgar Sommer's book, Mga Nilalang na Kagilas-Gilas, the Minokawa is said to be as large as the islands of Negros and Bohol. Its feathers are razor sharp, it has a steel beak and legs, their eyes are like mirrors, reflecting everyone around them. In the book, this creature is described to live in the farthest and highest parts of the sky. In the Bagobo tale, they are believed to live outside the sky at the eastern horizon. Before I proceed, let me read the National Commission for Culture and the Arts or the NCAA's explanation of the Bagobo. The Bagobo constitute one of the largest groups among the indigenous peoples of southern Mindanao. They are composed of three subgroups, namely the Tagabawa, the Klata or Giyangan, and the Ubo. Although they belong to one sociolinguistic group, Bagobo, they also differ in some ways such as the dialects, dance steps, costumes, and color preferences to mention a few. They are referred to as ethnic because they are the people whose distinctive identity is rooted in history. From the beginning and up to the present, the Bagobo are the predominant inhabitants of the vast areas extending from the west coast of Davao Gulf to the high reaches of Davao's famous and significant mountain ranges of Mount Apo or Apo Sandawa to the tribal people. As previously stated, the Minokawa is well known in Bagobo folklore. The Minokawa has counterparts in other parts of the Philippines. There's the Arimaonga of Maranao, the Banog or Banog of Iloco and Tinguian, and the Bawa of Hiligaynon, Pampangan, and Tagalog to name a few. I'm not sure if they're the same creature with different names or if they are different creatures with similar agendas. But since we are talking about the Minokawa, let's go back to this creature. Now, because this creature lives in the highest reaches of the sky, it lies in wait for the moon every night, attempting to devour her whenever she appears. Now, notice how I referred to the moon as a woman? That's because in Philippine mythology, the moon is described as a female, so a goddess. I'm just not sure if that's the same in Bagobo folklore or if the moon has a different name. I also can't answer as to why the Minokawa wants to eat the moon. But as far as the story goes, That's what the Minokawa does. Now, because this creature is very persistent in eating her, the moon confuses her predator, the Minokawa, by creating 8 holes in the eastern horizon to enter, and 8 holes to leave the sky in the western horizon. It's similar to an entrance and exit type situation. The Minokawa tries to swallow her just as she is about to come in through one of the holes in the east and shine on us once more. And by doing so, she escapes and avoids being eaten in the meantime. But I suppose there were times when the Minokawa was able to capture the moon, because according to the stories, the Minokawa swallowed the moon, causing the lunar eclipse. The eclipse can now be explained scientifically, when one celestial body moves into the shadow of another celestial body. However, our ancestors did not have the technology to help them understand the eclipse at the time. So I suppose they invented this creature to describe what they couldn't explain. When the people or inhabitants of the earth see the eclipse, they will make noise to startle the bird and release the moon. They would scream or beat gongs to keep the bird away, fearing that they would be eaten next. That is a reasonable fear, because the Minokawa, after swallowing the moon, is said to move on to the sun and next the inhabitants of the earth. In my opinion, I think the Minokawa somehow signifies the end of the world, or at least a creature that is capable to end the world. Because if the Minokawa is able to eat the moon, and then the sun, and then next the inhabitants of the earth, and then the earth, then what's next? What's left? But again, that's just my speculation. There's not much information about this. Now, making noise piques the Minokawa's interest. So this creature looks down. It opens its mouth to listen to the noise. Which is odd. I'm not sure how that works. Is the ear inside the mouth, or does this creature simply need to concentrate? That's why it opens its mouth. In any case, the noise would temporarily distract the Minokawa and cause it to open its mouth, and during this time, the moon leaps from the bird's mouth and flees. I'm not sure if this is still practiced today. I see no harm in participating in it though. Although, I understand that some people may find it ridiculous to see people shouting and banging gongs during an eclipse. Regardless of how ludicrous it seems, it is still part of our culture. And it would be nice to see this tradition continue. And that is it for the very short 4th episode of Season 4. I hope you enjoyed listening and learned something new. I honestly thought that I would get a lot of information about this creature, but I guess I mistook the Minokawa for the Bakunawa. They are different creatures, obviously. But yes, I still hope that you were able to learn something new. Once again, a huge thanks to Aswang Project for sponsoring this episode. Thank you so much. Sources for this podcast can be found on the Facebook page named Tabi Tabi Podcast. You can also find updates for the Tabi Tabi Podcast on Instagram. And lastly, if you would like to support this podcast, please consider being a member of my Patreon at patreon.com/tabitabipod. Being a patron means you can get early access and bonus episodes. Thanks for listening to Tabi Tabi Pod with me, Ethan. Join us next time when we talk about other mythical creatures in the Philippines. Bye!